Things that are changing. Anybody see my video? I made a special video just for you guys. Did anybody watch it? You actually watched it? Two people watched it. Praise Jesus. My own wife didn't even watch it. Super cool. That's what that means is I actually have to read this book to you guys now. Yeah. We'll get to that. See, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Dr. Seuss was the smartest man who ever lived. I'm just saying. Leighton probably gonna die later, just so you know. Yes! Praise God. That's fantastic. So just so you know, tonight's message is the title is stolen directly from Dr. Seuss. It's Oh, the things that you can think. And literally we may actually read a little bit of this book, just because you're never too old for Dr. Seuss, unless you're Leighton's age, whatever age that happens to be. Praise Jesus. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Any of you guys have a Bible with you tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4. Tyler's big enough for 7 people. So if you want to gather, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Maybe I should go get the Bibles out of the closet. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 3. Here we go. Ready? You know what's never going to change? Here's what's never going to change. The Word of God. Never change. The Word of God that we're reading now is the same Word of God that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago and Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. It's the same Word of God that was written by the hand of Moses like 5,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. The Word of God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say amen, just so I know you're awake. Maybe we should try some unity drills. Let's say amen together. Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about that? Okay, so at least my wife's with me now. If she wasn't on the video, at least she's with me now. Verse 3, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. If you're not reading along, at least close your trap long enough to hear the Word of God. Let it soak within your brains. Here we go. For we do not, let me start again because that was poor. Chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And ready for this? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you now with expectant hearts, Lord. Some of us have been praying about this, and we are excited about what you want to do tonight. And so we come with expectant hearts, Lord, that not only will we be hearers of the word, but that we will be doers of the word, Lord, that you will not only teach us about your word, but that you will hide it in our hearts and that it would change our lives and transform us from the inside out. And everybody who agrees with that will say amen. Once upon a time, I was a young person. I know, act shocked, surprised. I know, it's great, it's true. I was a young person, and once upon a time, as a young person, I struggled with thoughts. Like, I would think things like, I wonder if that girl's looking at me because I'm a dork or if she's looking at me because I'm a nerd, right? Or those kinds of thoughts. I wonder if I'm going to pass my math test. I'm curious about whether or not I'm going to make the baseball team. I'm kind of worried about my parents because they're fighting. I don't know if you guys ever have these kinds of thoughts. I'm wondering about the future, I'm worried about this, I'm concerned about that. I have a great many thoughts, they flash through my head, and sometimes they're going so fast I have a hard time keeping track of which one's which and how they affect my behavior and how they affect my mood and ultimately what it means for me in terms of what God's plan is. So tonight we're going to talk a bit about the thoughts we think, or if you're Dr. Seussian, oh, the things you can think. It's a choose your own adventure night, just so you know. But... It's a, It's so critical, so important to have an understanding of the thoughts that you think and why you think them, and ultimately what this says, what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, that we might demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You see, Jesus has thoughts for you. He has plans for you. He has dreams for you. And part of his plan for us is that we think the right thoughts. We have to think the right thoughts. And some of you guys have heard me say maybe before that emotions are neither right nor wrong. Anybody ever heard that before? Come on, there's only 30 of you. Act like you know everyone and you can just... Emotions are neither right nor wrong. They just are. Some of you haven't heard that. Okay, so look at me. Here we go. Emotions are neither right nor wrong. They just are. If you're mad, that's not right or wrong. It just is. It's what you do with your anger that then becomes either sinful or a blessing to someone else. Right? Anger is neither right nor wrong. It's what you do with your anger. Right? Hatred is a thought then. It's not an emotion. And so one of the things that happens is the way you think controls the way you feel, and the way you feel controls how you behave. So if you can get your thought life under control, then what you feel will follow what you think, and what you feel will then control how you behave. So I just have a question. This is a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer this. How many of you have done something stupid when you were scared? Right? We do this. There's fear. What happens? We see something that's scary, and our brain recognizes scary. Immediately, you think scary, and then right after that comes the emotion, fear. Fear is the emotion, and fear drives the behavior. And sometimes it's a good behavior, right? If there's a rabid dog across the way who's barking and running at you, it's good to be afraid and run away from the dog, okay? It's good. Fear is good. So sometimes that emotion that drives our behavior is good, but sometimes that emotion that drives our behavior is bad. So girls, let me have your attention for a minute. Sometimes girls, and it's not always girls, but oftentimes it's girls have a thought about a boy that causes an emotion within them, and that emotion drives their behavior, and their behavior, in that behavior, they make poor choices because they think something about a boy, so they feel something about a boy, so they act on their feelings, and sometimes those are bad choices. So ultimately, we have to go back to the beginning and control the way we think, because we need to take our thoughts captive. Oh, the things that you can think. So how do we do this? Well, we'll get to that. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the most common thoughts that we have that lead to poor actions. The first one that I came up with, and it appears in the Bible 31 times, is lust. And as soon as you say the word lust, it's goofy because automatically we think that this is a boy problem. But I'm here to tell you this isn't a boy problem. Lust is a problem for boys and girls just the same. Lust is when you crave something more than you crave God. Usually we associate lust with sex or inappropriate sexual behavior or all those kinds of things. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. You can lust after a purse just like a boy would lust after a girl. Right? A girl could be lusting after shoes. I'm just saying. Okay? Usually we associate it with sex because and this is what Jesus says. Ready? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, I think I have this ready. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says this: I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In other words, it's the thought thing. I see the girl, she's a pretty girl, and then the choice right there is either to lust after her or not. And the same thing can be true with girls. Girls can see the boy and think about the boy, and girls don't do it the same way boys do, right? With boys, it's all about the googly eyes thing, like, dude, did you see her? Like, you know, your friend missed the girl, right? And then they do this a little bit, and then they chuckle and whatever, right? Oh, my bad. They laugh. Nobody uses chuckle anymore. I dated myself. Sorry about that. Sorry. Forgive me. I'll step over that one. Okay, there you go. I dated my... That just sounds wrong. Anyway, so with girls and boys, it's not the same, because with boys, that may or may not be the end of it, right? The boy may pursue that girl or he may not pursue that girl, but the lust thing may have already occurred because he entertained that thing in his mind, right? Jesus didn't say you have to go off and do something inappropriate with the girl. No, what did he say? Anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in her heart, in his heart. Girls, listen. This is my thinking, and maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you can come up to me later and say, dude, you were so wrong. But this is my thinking. Boys are not the only ones that struggle with this. Girls struggle with this too. They just struggle with it differently. And here's how girls struggle with this, okay? They see the boy, they find him attractive, and they don't stare and drool. They start to create a scenario around that boy. And they start to think about him and obsess about him. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, if I can find a way to get in his path and meet him, and then I can wear the right clothes, and I can have my hair just right, and I can do the right things, and I can say the right things, then maybe he'll think I'm cute. And the girl, in an hour, is already at, I'm going to sign my name with his last name and see what it looks like. Right? You do this. What does my first name look like with his last name? Oh. And then, you guys, I've seen girls do this. I've seen girls do this. I've seen girls go from meeting the guy, barely getting like this much information about the guy, all the way to within an hour, the guy's gone. He's like off at the baseball game, and he's gone. And she's been thinking about him all that time. And she's already to what they're going to middle name of their second child. Right? And the guy's completely oblivious to what's going on. Like, I have no what? And she's got their life planned. So, I'm just saying, lust isn't just a boy problem. It can be a girl problem too. And here's the thing, right? I say this in jest, and you guys are all giggling, and that was the intent, right? I wanted you guys to laugh about this. But recognize this. There is a place. So girls, listen. There is a place where you cross over a line and you begin to sin in your fantasy world with that boy. There is a place in your heart where you even before you really know him, maybe you've gone out a couple of times, and maybe all you talk about with your girlfriends is this boy and what's going to happen next, and then after that, and then after that, and then after that, and then after that, and do I need to keep going, or you get the idea? And then after that, and this is the way girls think a lot of times, and then you cross over a line into sin in your own fantasy life. Where does that happen? It begins to happen when that boy is more important than Jesus. When you're spending so much of your time contemplating what's going to happen and how it's going to work, and what about, because my friend doesn't like him, and so how am I going to reconcile my best friend, you know, my BFF and my boyfriend, and they got to figure it all out, and then you're trying to orchestrate this relationship that hasn't even happened yet, and you're trying to work it all out, all of these details and all of these things, and where you're going to live and what he's going to do for a living and what you're going to do for a living and how you're going to get your children to see their grandparents, because you're going to have to move across the country because you know that he's going to be an electrical engineer, and the best ways to do that is at Stanford, and so he's going to stay here, but really his parents actually live in Nebraska, and so then you're going to have to figure out, oh my goodness, and then it'll be okay because we got Skype, but, you know, it'll be okay because Skype is here to save the day. The boys are all like, dude, I don't know what he's talking about. Say what? And the girls are all laughing hysterically because you've had these conversations with your friends. And the boys are like, what? Dude. Okay. So girls, let me say to you that lust is not just a boy problem. For sure, don't get me wrong, for sure, absolutely, and every boy who is honest, and there's probably one of them in here, and it's me, will say that lust is a boy problem, right? It's not a boy problem for you. But get this in your hearts and understand this, that Satan isn't going to attack you the same way he attacks me. He's going to attack you in the field of lust by taking some guy, whether it's a movie star or a real person, a real guy who you go to, you know, fourth period, whatever class it is with, and you're going to put him up on some kind of a pedestal in your mind, and you're going to begin, wait for it, to worship the boy instead of the God. Okay? And right there, it's lust. If it's taken your attention, your energy, your focus away from the only boy who really matters, Jesus Christ, then it's lust. Okay? Didn't know girls could lust, did you? How about this one? Yeah, that was my black woman home. Thank you very much. I got it going on. Next thing, this is a goofy one because this one hits girls more than boys, but I'm telling you, it hits boys too, and it's jealousy. Look at what Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4 says. Ready for this? Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Who can stand before jealousy? And jealousy takes so many shades, so many forms, so many different apparatus in our lives. Sometimes it sneaks up on us and we don't even notice it, right? I can be out with my wife and we're driving and I can be jealous of another minivan, you know, and you all are laughing at me, right? But I'm going, dang, that Honda Odyssey is fine. Oh, look at those wheels. It's got the DVD player in the back. Oh, Jesus, if you loved me, you would give me the Odyssey. Right? Oh, I got your attention now. But it doesn't have to be about that. It could be about the iPod. It could be about the shoes. It could be about the... For me, it was pants. I'm just telling you. Look at me. For me, growing up, jealousy was about pants. And I'll tell you why. Here's why. As a kid... Growing up, I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm kind of tall. Apparently nobody's listening, the understatement of the day, and nobody even began. Oh, thanks. So here, I'm going to sit down. Watch this now. Here's the thing. When I was growing up as a kid, I had some jealousy about pants, and I'll tell you why. Because as a kid growing up, every pair of pants I had, if they fit me like this, see how these, they're like normal. Right? These are, praise Jesus for these pants. I'm just saying. Right? I had to look and look and look and look to find these pants. As a kid growing up, there wasn't a pair of pants that I owned that when I sat down, they didn't hit me in the middle of the shin. They would go right to there. Feel sorry for me. I was jealous because when other kids would sit down, they would sit down and their pants would be like these and they would just barely touch the tops of the tongue of the shoe like normal people. But my pants, they had this huge bend to make. They had to go around this tremendous corner called my knee. It's bigger than your knee, I promise. And my pants would come to here. And I know, they are. Nowadays, shorts hit you at the ankle, which is a little weird for me. But anyway, that's a whole different thing. But look at, I don't know how many times people would say, dude, expecting a flood? Thanks so much. Come here so I can, yeah, that was original. Wait, it's a knee slapper. Oh, Lord. But I was jealous about people's pants. And this is, here, it doesn't matter what kind of, it doesn't matter, quit texting. Big texter. Yeah, it's not him. It wasn't, I did think that you were some kind of alien with those things coming out of your ears, though, because it looked like you were growing gills maybe a little bit. Your mom likes those? Okay, well, if your mom likes them, then I'll just shut up about them. So I was jealous about people's pants because they were normal and I was abnormal. I'm still a little abnormal. Insert laughter here. But people are laughing. They don't even know why. Like, why are we laughing? Because I didn't listen. So I was jealous about people. And nowadays, people are jealous about all kinds of things. I like that guy's hair. I think she's got the cutest boots. Or they look at that dude's got all of the exciting electronic gadgetry, right? They've got the iTouch, the iPhone, the iPod, the I gotta have it, whatever it is. And so we get jealous. We get jealous. We get jealous. And here's the thing. Ready? Look at me now. This is the serious thing. This is the serious thing. Lighten up here. Jealousy robs you of your joy. Jealousy robs you of your joy. It's the thought that leads to the emotion, that leads to the behavior, and jealousy robs you of your joy. The next thing you know, you're spending more of your time thinking about the kid who has the cool car than you are thinking about the Jesus Christ who died for you. You're spending more of your emotional energy trying to find a way so that you can have the thing that everybody else has, even though not everyone else has it, than you are trying to figure out how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ that will make all of that other stuff inconsequential. If you don't know what that means, take it home, look it up. So there's worry and anxiety comes along with this. Look at this. It says, this is Jesus, right? Everybody look at the screen. Jesus, worry and anxiety. Ready, set, go. Worry and anxiety, this is what Jesus had to say about it. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. A lot of these sins are gender-based, and I don't know how that works. Like, God was up in heaven going, well, we need some sins for the girls, we need some sins for the boys. Like, everybody thinks lust, that's a boy sin. But this one, worry has a tendency to be a girl sin. And I don't know why that's true, but in my experience, not that boys don't worry, because we do, right? A lot of guys are worried about this, and I'll tell girls, listen, if you got a man that you think is the man, and he doesn't have a plan, dump him on his ear. If you got a man and you think he's the man and he doesn't have a plan, lose him, because he's a loser. I'm just saying. So boys have a worry because they better have a plan. If you're a boy, you got to have a career. You got to figure out, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to take care of things? All of this has got to go on. But girls, somehow, for whatever reason, they have a tendency to worry about oh so much more. Girls are worried about the way they look. They're worried about who's looking at them. They're worried about who's not looking at them. They're worried about whether or not the next boy that ought to be looking at them is actually looking at their friend. They're worried about all of these things. And then you grow up, right? Ask one of the women in this room. You grow up and you get married. You're worried about your marriage. You grow up, you get married, you have kids. Ready for this? Now you're worried about your own children. Are they going to be safe? Are they going to be accepted? Are they going to be loved? Is somebody going to take care of them? When they get to the playground, are they going to get beaten up? What's going to happen next? Who knows what's going on with my kids? My kids, my kids, my kids. It's hard to be a woman sometimes and have the burden and the responsibility and that maternal connection. It feels like I'm talking to myself a little bit. Maybe we should move on. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate that very much. So here's the thing, boys and girls. This is the thing that's easy to say that's hard to do. You got to take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Captive to the obedience of Christ. Captive to the obedience of Christ. When there's anxiety about the next test coming up in social studies or the next test coming up at the locker where you're trying to figure out where you fit in the social status of your school, there's anxiety and worry, and this is what Jesus said. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, all the things that you're worried about, all the things that you're concerned about, all the things on earth that make life difficult if you don't have it all squared away, all of those things, think about it in your head. Put it in your head right now. Put all the things you're worried about in your head right now. Put it in your head. Put it in your head right now. All the things you're worried about, put it in your head. Okay, all of those things, now look at me. Jesus is going to take care of it. Jesus is going to take care of that. You're worried about that? Jesus is going to take care of that. Some of us have huge things, huge burdens to carry. Jesus is going to take care of that. It may not be what you think it's going to be, but this is what he promised. This is what he promised. Seek me first. Not things first, not solutions first, not answers first. Seek me first, Jesus said. And I'll take care of all that other stuff. I will take care of it. He said, trade burdens with me. Mine is easy and yours is hard. Trade burdens with me. I got an insecurity. I got a little video. After this video, we'll talk about insecurity. We're going to play this quick video. I think it's about two and a half minutes long. And after the video, we'll talk about insecurity.
Common sense, that's what we need. They need to be wearing helmets every time they treat us stupid, because the kids are the ones that suffer. Because in their schools, in the schools, they don't know what to do. Because they can't change the kids, so they just try to change the law. Self-esteem, that's where it comes from. Self-esteem from psychiatry. Psychiatry from Freud. Freud was an atheist. Self-esteem, it sounds like a great idea. Let's all do that. I must love me. I must love only me. And it's good to be care about yourself. But where does the esteem come from? You see, if you love yourself based on yourself, it leads to tyranny, ego, pride. Where does it come from? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said. Remember him? The guy we used to go to for absolute ethics and moral in this country. He said, you want to have esteem? You must always esteem others first. You must always esteem others first. You'll have love. Remember the Ten Commandments? The very thing we used as a fulcrum for all the laws in this country that you can't even put in front of a state building anymore. First commandment God Almighty said to humans was, you will love me first. You will put me first, because when the creator of matter tells you you matter, then you have purpose and then you have self-esteem. But they don't get it.
Did you guys get that? Okay, I was like me on speed, right? Woo! You're laughing. What? Oh. So, did you guys get that though? This is the thing. So often, I've been talking to some other people about this. What's the number one thought that destroys lives? What's the number one issue, particularly? And I was talking to some people in my world, and I said, "What's the number one issue that destroys lives?" And they said, "It's self-esteem. We don't believe we're good enough." We don't believe we're strong enough. We don't believe we're pretty enough. We don't believe we're fast enough. We don't believe we're whatever it is. You don't believe that you have what it takes. For men, it's about strength and dominance. You don't believe that you have what it takes to control your world. And for women, it so often comes down to a very simple principle. Women want to feel loved. They want to feel loved. They want to feel nurtured. They want to feel cared for. They want to feel fought for. They want somebody to come and take care of them. And it's all about feeling loved. And what happens is they don't think they're good enough to earn your love. Or let's put this on the other way. We don't think we're good enough to earn someone's love. Self-esteem is a destroyer of dreams. If we're not good enough to earn someone's love, then how can we possibly? How can we have a good life? How can we find a good wife or a husband? How can we have a good college? How can we even go to college? We're not good enough to go to college. We're not good enough to make the team. We're not good enough for our parents to like us. We're not good enough for our friends to like us. We're not good enough for anything. We're horrible, right? And the thing is, ready? Catch this, because I put the comedian on for a reason. Because when the God who made matter tells you matter, then you have purpose and you have self-esteem. You see, God didn't make mistakes. He created each one of us with a purpose, and he didn't create any of us without the skills, the strengths, the intelligence, the abilities, the beauty to do what he called us to do. He gave each one of us exactly what we need to do what he called us to do. If you have purpose and you know that you have been given everything you need to complete the purpose, then you have self-esteem. Then you have self-esteem because you have identity. You're God's child. You were chosen on purpose by God, purchased at a price by God, gifted individually for a very significant purpose by God. You have what it takes. And if you get that in your heart and you understand that with your head, then all of a sudden, the things that the critics say, the things that the people come and they tear you down and they cut you off at the knees and they tell you you're no good and they tell you you're stupid, they tell you you're ugly and they tell you you're worthless, none of those voices matter, because the one voice that's talking the same volume as everyone else but comes from the source of it all is saying this: I love you. And I made you and I gifted you. You do have what it takes. The way you think has to come from the voice you listen to. So whose voice are you going to listen to? Because God's telling you, you matter. You're important. One of the other thoughts that I have struggled with all my life and I still struggle with today is pride. Pride is a significant issue. I think it's a significant issue for both genders. I think it's different for boys and girls, because boys, when they get to the place where they understand their position and the things that they ought to do and the things that they can do, and they start to do those things, all of a sudden they're the ones doing it and they got it under control. And really, it's all good. I don't even need God. And when you get to that place, you know you've lost it, because that's the place where Lucifer started. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 35, says this: sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, and get this, the servant of all. You can't be a proud, I'm all good, I got it all under control, I'm taking care of business, and if you got any problems, you just come to me, because I got you. And at the same time, be the servant of all. Doesn't work that way. Right? The antidote is humility. And we've talked about humility before, right? It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility. It's not about me anyway. God's the one that gifted me. God's the one that enabled me. God's the one that took care of me when I was broken, when I was damaged, when I was lost, when I was hurting. He's the one that gets the credit. He's the one that gets the glory. I got it all under control. Don't get me wrong. But the only reason I got it under control is because I serve a great God and he's taking care of me. Amen? This is what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this: For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Which part of that is the part that I created? The part that I made? The part that I built up? The part that I took care of? There isn't any part of that that I did. Even in faith, put the scripture back up for me, Timothy, please. Even in the faith, it says, the second part, sober judgment. In accordance with the measure of faith, even my own faith, where did it come from? God. I got no room to be proud, because there's nothing that I did that didn't come from him anyway. Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from heaven. We all battle these thoughts and they plague our relationships. They plague our decisions. They plague our choices. We work on fear, we work on pride, we work on self-loathing. Sometimes we make decisions based out of anxiety. We're just trying to to do whatever it is that's the simplest thing to do because it's easy, and that's all we can do is just what's easy because we've got all these thoughts running around in our head. And even Pastor Gary, and he says it from this place right here on Sunday mornings, he says, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I hear this voice in my head saying, you're a loser. You're no good. You can't do anything anyway. The senior pastor of our church, he hears that voice in his head, and then he has to make a decision, right? And the decision is, whose voice is that? Is that my voice? Is that God's voice? Oh, no. That voice is coming from the pit of hell, and I will not listen to it. The thoughts that we think, they control how we feel. And the feelings that we experience control what we do. So, Pastor Chris, I get it. Fine, right? Control thoughts. Yeah, that's all good, but how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. Right? It's time to meddle. It's time to meddle. Time to meddle. I love this part. This is the part where it's supposed to be practical, right? When you walk out the door, you shouldn't be the same as when you walked in the door. You should have something that you can carry out the door with you that you can apply to your lives, right? Because if you're just hearing the word and sticking in your head, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I don't just want to teach you about the Bible. I want you to experience Jesus Christ. And there's some practical ways to do that. In all of this, this is going to seem so elementary. In all of this, it's hard to control your thoughts, right? There's this saying, look up here. There's this saying, boys are waffles and girls are spaghetti. Anybody ever heard that before? Boys are waffles, girls are spaghetti. Boys are waffles and girls are spaghetti. This is what this means. Boys think in chunks. I'm thinking about math. There's that chunk. Okay, pretty girl walked by. I'm thinking about pretty girls. Math is not on my head anymore. It's just about the pretty girl now. Right? And the next thing you know, you get a text from your friend, and he's saying, dude, let's go to the movies. I'm thinking about what movie we're going to go see. What movie are we going to go see? I'm going on the internet. I'm looking for movies. What's going on? These are the movies. This is what's playing. This is what's going on. Okay. So now we got to figure out where we're going to meet, who's going to drive, what's going to happen. We're going to get some stuff. Are we going to invite any girls? Ooh, I'm thinking about pretty girls again. This is how boys' brains work. Boom, da boom, da boom, da boom. Girls, oh, Lord help us, are spaghetti. Every strand of thought is connected to 42,821 other strands of thought. I'm thinking about boys. Well, that boy has this one friend, but then I didn't really like him because his mom yelled at me that one time. And then you know what? My parents sometimes yell at me too. And this is all wrapping all the way around to what's for dinner? I had 11 thoughts in 2.1 seconds. And boys are talking to girls, and girls are doing this with their thoughts, and they're all wrapped around, and the boys are like, what? Would you just hold still for 1 second? Because I can't figure out where you're going. I thought we were talking about the movies, and you're talking about next week you have an appointment to get your hair done. Where did that even come from? I don't get you at all. So... By the way, I've been around teenagers a long time, and sometimes I think this is enabled by the Spirit. Sometimes I can just read your minds. It's kind of crazy, actually. But how do we do this? Boys are waffles and girls are spaghetti. And here's the thing: ready for this? The promise that Paul gave us. The promise that Paul gave us, that you can take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, was not just for men. It was for men and for women. You can take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and it works with waffles. By the way, for you guys that don't know how that works, it's pieced off. Waffles have sections. sections. they're like food. I'm thinking about food now, waffles. Where's the waffles? But guys are still back there like, PC, when are we cooking waffles, man? Because I'm so there. We're having waffles. Might branch over to the next column and talk about butter and syrup. That's like the neighboring columns. Right. No, so boys, look at girls. It helps if you understand how boys think. I'm just telling you right now. So boys and girls, watch me now. Look at this. Boys think in segments. There's a thought followed by a separate thought. Sometimes they're connected, but there aren't 72 thoughts all piled together. It's one thought followed by another thought, separated thoughts. And it's not perfect illustration, but you get the idea. Boys have a better ability to kind of segment things off. And it's one of the things that drives girls crazy about us, right? Watch this, boys. I'm helping you with your love life right now, okay? This is free advice. I'm helping you with your... I love that. Some of these guys, like, totally ignore me all night. I'm helping you with your love life. And they're like, because, Lord, help me. I need help. Please, Jesus, help me with this because I don't get girls. Here's how this goes. Just a little relationship coaching on the side. That's what I do. It's a free service here at Refuge. Okay, so watch. Boys, here's first of all, talk more about what she wants to talk about. Free advice. Talk more about what she wants to talk about. Talk more. Layton's like, I am all over that. Talk more? No problem. I forget even where I was going with this. Lord help me. Where's it going? I know I got to a free space, like open square. Uh-oh. Now what? How do I get to the next square? There are ways to take thoughts captive, and they're different for boys than they are for girls. So different for boys than they are for girls. But in general, there are ways to take thoughts captive, and the overarching idea is this: start with prayer. Okay? Start with prayer. And if you're like me, prayer time lasts 4.2 seconds, and then I'm looking at something, and I'm distracted by something, and I'm off on some other box in my head, and I have to like constantly come back. One of the things that I've done to help me stay in the prayer square, if you will, is this, ready for this? I will write my prayers down. You know why? Because if my hand is moving, I have to force it to keep moving. Right? If I'm thinking about something else and my brain goes, then all of a sudden, and I'm a typer, so I type out my prayers. But my hand has to be activated by my brain. So my brain has to stay on task with Jesus in order to continue thinking that thought, praying that prayer to keep my hand moving. Because otherwise, I will be praying, and 2.1 seconds, I'll be thinking about what's next and what's going on after that and my day and appointments and who's coming in and what's going on with and then all of these things. So that's how I stay in that square. And prayer is essential. Okay, watch this. Look at me. Do you believe prayer works? Do you believe prayer works? Ready for this? Prove it. The amount of praying you do is in proportion to the amount you believe it works. If you really believe prayer works, then pray. If you don't pray, if you're one of those people, yeah, I pray four and a half seconds every night before I go to bed. Dear Jesus, it was a good day. If that's your prayer life, and I'm not pointing fingers because I don't know how much you guys pray, so I'm not pointing fingers. I just know how much I prayed when I was your age, and it was about 4 seconds per day. So guess how much faith I had that prayer actually worked? I had like this much. I must have believed that prayer didn't really work, because if I believed that prayer worked, I would have actually prayed. Yeah, see how that works? There's a connection there. So force yourself. This is one of the things that I did, and my accountability partner has been here tonight. ready for this? I have an accountability partner, and he asks me every week about my prayer life. And one of the things that I've committed to is, and this sounds stupid, right? 2 times per week, I have to write a prayer out. Is that overwhelming? No. Is that like 11 hours a week? No. At least 2 times a week, I have to write a prayer out. Do I pray lots more than that? Sure, I do. But the point is, I have to have sustained thought to continue my prayer onto paper. 2 times a week, I have to write a prayer out. Challenge yourselves. Make it practical and make it real. If you aren't actually praying and you want, if you believe prayer is important but you're not actually praying, then you've got to change something. All right, I'm done kicking the dead horse. This is what it says in Scripture. This is what it says in Scripture. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. I think I have this one. Do I have this one? Ready, set, go. Any mark it, set. Ha! Here we go. Ready for this? The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There are things that set themselves up in your mind that get between you and God. They are thoughts that get between you and God. And what the Scripture is saying is that we have weapons that were formed by God. Everybody say prayer. That will demolish the strongholds that set themselves up in our minds. Prayer. Duh. Okay, so. Practical thoughts after prayer. Ready for this? Beginning with prayer, then we go on. Ready for this? Look at me. Replace bad thoughts. It sounds simple. Replace bad thoughts. There are guys in this room who look at an image and the image is burnt into their heads and they're walking around going, I want this image out of my head. It's controlling my life. Everywhere I look, I see this stupid image because guys are visually wired and it hurts like they want it gone. How, Pastor Chris, how do I get that image out of my head? Replace bad thoughts. How do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. Flip up the next one, please. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How do I get the image out of my head? Choose an image that is admirable or praiseworthy and think on that thing. Same thing works, right? You guys know this works because when you have a song stuck in your head, oh, Lord. It could be the stupid campfire song, but it's in there playing round and round and round and round, and you get like you want to just scratch out your own. Well, there's nothing you could do because it's in your head. How do you do that? How do you get rid of that? You listen to a new song. Listen to a new song. Not if you've done this before. Good. Listen to a new song. Replace bad thoughts. With girls, it might be that thing that you're going on and on and on and on and on about the guy with the, and then it's the house, and then what's the house going to look like, and the color, and the interior, and whether or not you're going to have a big dishwasher or a little dishwasher, and then the middle name of your second child, right? Because you're going on and on and on. And you get to this place, and pretty soon, Lord help you, right? Pray about this. You get to this place where you go, I might be crossing over into a place of sin in my mind. But I can't get it out of my head, Pastor Chris. I can't get it out of my head. I keep thinking about this and then what's next and then the babies and then the thing and then I got to talk about how we're going to get the grandparents to see the children because we're going to live in Michigan and they're going to be in California. And then Skype is the answer to it all. Remember that? How do I get that out of my head? Replace bad thoughts. Okay, look. He wrote a lot of stuff. Put the scripture back up, Philippians 4:8 for me, please. Look at this. Look at it. Philippians 4:8. Paul wouldn't have asked us to do this if we couldn't. Pastor Chris, I can't do this. No, shut up. You can. You'll get over it. I have faith. I'll pray about it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Replace bad thoughts. How do I take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? You take the bad ones and you write over them with the new ones, with the good ones. You think about worshiping Jesus. You think about praising God. You put on some music and you start to worship in your spirit and you start to experience God. You start to reach out to him and you say, Lord, help me because I'm broken, I'm wounded, I'm lost, I'm dying. I need a Savior. I need somebody to come and rescue me because I got nothing. And he will. He is faithful to his word. I'm ready for Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. How do we take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? The very first psalm says this: Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Who are you hanging out with? Did I make a typo? Bickers. Okay, so there's a distinct possibility that with this slide I couldn't actually see what I was typing. I'm serious about that. So look at me. Forgive me for my typos. Forgive me for my typos. Okay? I'll be more careful in the future. Forgive me my typos. But don't miss the meaning. Look up here. Don't miss the meaning. Don't miss the meaning. Forgive me of my typos, but don't miss the meaning. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Here's the question. Ready? Who are you hanging out with? Well, good. You're probably okay then. If you've got thoughts that are attacking you, it may have a direct connection with who you're hanging out with. The people who speak into your life affect what you think. But this psalm isn't over. Ready for this? But delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do I expect you guys to open Deuteronomy and just pour over it and love Deuteronomy? No. No. You don't have to pour over Deuteronomy. But you know what? Maybe you should read more than once. Ready for this? Read Philippians. Read it. Look it. I'm giving you guys practical. This is practical. This is real stuff. You can carry out the door. This is real stuff. You can carry out the door. Okay, ready for this? If you've got thoughts that are not pleasing to God and you want to take them captive to the obedience of Christ, if you've got inappropriate thoughts, whether they're inappropriate about lust or pride or greed or envy or strife or malice, maybe you're just flat out angry and that's all you can think about is anger, anger, anger. Doesn't matter what it is. If you've got thoughts in there and you're trying to take them captive to the obedience of Christ, you're trying to change the way you think, you're trying to dial down your own brain so that it's in accordance with what God has for you and his plans for you, here's what you can do. It really works. Pray about it. I'm not kidding. Replace bad thoughts. Overwrite the bad ones with the good ones. Think appropriate things. Get around people and talk. Sometimes just talking helps to replace bad thoughts. You can talk about something that's good, worthy, admirable, praiseworthy, full of hope and cheer rather than evil and ugly. Replace bad thoughts. Okay? Pray about it. Replace the bad thoughts. Be careful who you hang out with. And the last one is what's called systemic. It starts from the inside and works its way out. Systemic. It starts from the inside and works its way out. And that is, ready for this? This is going to be a brand new idea. You've never heard this before. You see this thing? Read it. What a novel idea. Read it. If you want your thoughts to be in accordance with what God has for you in your life, Think the thoughts God has for you. But you can't think them if you don't put them in your head. I'm done here. We're going to pray. I want you guys to seriously contemplate this. The thoughts that God has for you are good thoughts. And he wants you to think them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us in this. Lord God, it's so hard to control our minds. It's so difficult to take thoughts captive. Sometimes they sneak up on us and we don't even know where they came from. Some image from months ago will snap into our head. Some conversation that we had with our friend will come flying back through and it'll start a whole chain reaction in our minds and we'll be thinking about things that are not righteous. So Lord, help us. Help us to wash our minds with your word, to cleanse them with your word, to hide your word in our hearts, Lord. Change us from the inside out in that way. And also I pray that you'd help us to come up with thoughts that are praiseworthy, that are righteous, that are holy, that are just, that are good, that are pure, that we can fall back on when things are not good in our hearts. Then when our mind is gone wandering astray, we can come back on those things, Lord. Help us to surround ourselves with friends who will encourage us to do this. We thank you, Lord, that you want us to think good thoughts and you enable us to do it. So be with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. You are dismissed.